Welcome back to Cast Me to Hell with me, Seb.
And with me, Robbie. I was trying to think of a Van Helsing-esque name there, and I fucking fucked it. Straight off the bat, messed
You're
it.
Not quite as good as Huge Jackman.
No, I'm not as quite huge as Huge Jackman.
No one's as huge as that sexual man, Jackman.
Huge Jackman. So tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the best film of all time. No, I'm not talking about King Kong versus Godzilla or King Kong X Godzilla, the New Empire. I mean, I'm talking obviously about Van Helsing, star-studded cast by Stephen Sommers, the man who brought the mummy back into action. Obviously, much better than the dog shit Tom Cruise one, you know.
Far better than that one.
I feel weird starting the episode, you know. I never started.
Yeah, you kind of jumped in there. I'm offended.
I'm excited of the film.
I'm like, I don't know what to do now.
I'll hand the reins back over to you. Yeah, restart.
You jump back in there. Stephen Sommers' range is what I was thinking of when I thought of this film. I was just like, I forgot that this was a Stephen Sommers film. And I've talked about the fact that I actually like his films, even though they are quite critically derided, apart from the first Mummy. I think every other film he's made, I think, has been like not well received.
Well, I know he did The Mummy, but what else did he do? I mean, I'm on
He did The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Obviously.
He did not do the shitty third Mummy.
I like the way you said that The Mummy Returns isn't the shitty one, the Scorpion.
No, I mean, it's got its shitty parts, but it's not nearly as shit as the Tomb of the Dragon Empire, like crappy.
With Jet Li.
With knockoff, you know, and no Rachel Weisz. Instead, it's got Maria Bello doing a really bad English accent.
Yeah.
Just generally just felt off. Like, he did G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Which I actually think the first G.I. Joe is a really cheesy, corny, but quite fun film. Don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's not bad.
Apparently he did Rise of Cobra. Is that it?
Yeah.
He did the first one,
which was about... The second one was absolute shit. But the first one, I'm not saying it was a great film, but it was a big old, like, entertaining, blockbustery cheese ball, you know.
Yeah.
It was a popcorn flick, and it was exactly what it should be.
He did the 90s jungle
live-action Jungle Book.
There's a naked man in a loincloth on the letterboxed header, if you want to have a little look.
He also did Deep Rising, which is one I've talked about before, which I really like.
Yeah, you have.
Really
you
like.
Spoke about that.
The old Monster on a Ship classic one. He's done a fair few ones. I like the one he's done. I didn't actually find out why, but he hasn't done a film since 2013. So
interesting.
Long time since he's done them. I think he might produce some films and stuff like that since then, but he's not done any directing gigs since then. To be fair, I think his G.I. Joe was like okay, a good hit for him kind of thing, but of his own films he made, I think he kind of lost a bit of steam around the time of this film.
Which is weird, because when we started watching it, I mean, I didn't know that it was a Stephen Sommers film. It just kind of... I haven't watched this film for like a good few years. I will be honest that the film does hold a special place in my heart. It came out obviously 20 years ago, so it came out just before my 12th birthday.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go see it in the cinema with my friends for my birthday, but by the time it was my birthday, because I'm a June baby, as you can probably tell, you know, Gemini, got that kind of vibe, it was already gone, so I don't know what I did in the end, but I didn't want to watch it.
And you didn't have any friends.
I didn't have any friends, so...
Your mum had to explain to you that she wasn't really your parent, it was a change.
It's a long thing, you know. And then I wanted to get the game, but the game didn't come out in time for my birthday, so I couldn't get it. And I never actually played it. You know, it just exists in my mind as the best game that I never played.
The best game I ever played. I believe it was kind of like Devil May Cry.
Yeah, which sounds badass.
So, yeah, I mean, that was an awesome game.
But once I realised it was a Stephen Sommers film, and I looked at it, and then I was like, yeah, I can kind of see that this is very much like The Mummy was his spin on that universal kind of monster. And then this is almost as if he was doing like a precursor to the Dark Universe in a way, in his style, because you've obviously got Dracula, you've got the Wolfman, you've got the Brides of Dracula, you've got Frankenstein, you've got Van Helsing himself, so you've got Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So you've got like an amalgamation of the kind of famous characters. I half expected the Invisible Man to pop up at one point.
He was in the film the whole time.
I didn't see him. He was naked, obviously. He was bonnet naked.
That's, hanging dong.
That's
the
what
time.
The clapping was whenever Hugh Jackman was working.
Hugh Jackman also played the Invisible Man.
He was hanging dong all the time.
You just need to look out for that hanging dong at one point. When blood splatters, there's just a dong that disappears covered in like the goo of one of the Dracula babies.
Yeah, you can't tell. It's just a bit of a vein that gives it away. That's
But yeah, this film was made following the success of The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. And Universal have tried many, many times to reinvent the universe, you know, their monster universe. They've tried so many times. And this was actually one of the attempts to reboot that universe. So The Mummy, obviously, huge hit, you know, great film. Mummy Returns, another one, not such a great film, but, you know, it's still an enjoyable action rompy flick.
And it launched the career of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
It absolutely did. I don't know how, because technically he's only in one scene as himself. The rest of it is some weird fucking, the worst CGI ever made.
Yeah. But he does the people's eyebrow, as for some reason. Which
as that unanimous, you know, that blob of a creature. We say it's a scorpion. He looks like a weird blob running around the room.
Yeah.
But this was the attempt. So they thought, we've done it with that one. So we'll bring in Stephen Summers, and, you know, he'll recreate that magic. But we'll introduce like loads of our creatures, and the idea that this was going to expand off. So they were so certain that this film was going to be a hit that they kept the sets. So normally they get rid of recycle sets, but they kept the sets. They kept the Transylvania sets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They kept all of that on their lot ready. They had already greenlit a sequel before the film had even been out. They were this convinced. They were like, we've got Stephen Summers. The Mummy was a huge hit. He's doing another action-y kind of one.
Yeah.
There's no way this isn't going to be a hit. We've got sequels coming. They were going to make a TV series called Transylvania set in the same universe.
Oh,
so
wow.
They were literally like mapping out before they even were doing that.
Before the MCU.
You know, they were going to be precursors to all of this. They were, you know, which is weird because if I'm honest, actually, the MCU kind of thing or superhero movies really was in my head when a lot of this film plays out, because there's so many action scenes. Some of it feels proper like superhero shots of like Frankenstein gliding down wires, and what I mean, like those big like scale
very
shots,
bombastic, you know,
really like in this film. But yeah, obviously, I mean, this film wasn't a disaster at the box office. It made about 300 million worldwide.
It
was made about 160-170, but not enough to launch a whole universe of like, we're now going to make the Frankenstein film, and we're now going to make the, you know, the Hugh Jackman, and we're going to bring, you know, one last back from the dead just so she can have her own franchise and all that, you know, all that kind of thing that kind of comes into this world. But it didn't happen. So it failed, and then they tried to do another one.
I'll be honest, it's weird because if you think of the people who were in this film, if you think about Van Helsing, because if that was the actual actor,
Hugh Jackman,
obviously, I think this was off the back of the first X-Men.
I think second had been out for
quite okay,
long. Yeah,
but
so
he was still
the bigger one as well.
Yeah, so he was still hot property.
Yeah.
And he was gonna get hotter. And then Kate Beckinsale, I think
she was
maybe
hot
like
then. She was hot then.
Was it? Because she's also in
Underworld,
isn't she?
But that was the
first.
That was about the peak of her career. Around the early 2000s was the peak.
I think they could have rode it for one more, man.
I think it is a case of a studio like not thinking, especially is that they'd actually put money into it already. They'd already started some kind of pre-production on the idea of one. Obviously, they had the intention, because there's also the little spin-off. There's an animated Van Helsing in London, which I haven't seen, but which was on the DVD or came with the DVD when you bought it back in the day. And I said about the TV stuff, and they've kept the sets and stuff. So technically, they'd already kind of used money, and they'd already saved money. So it sounds like it's wasting just as much money to be like, we're just not going to do it. We're going to scrap this completely.
Kind of.
You know, I know it's still like, no, there's about 200 million more pounds we need to put on it. You know, that's fuck all, right? But it is weird that they kind of gave up on it that way. And I got to be honest, I mean, let's be honest. When I was watching this film, now this is not, I would say The Mummy is more grounded than this film.
I mean, yeah, you know, obviously.
It's not, like, the concept technically is very supernatural, but there's something that is somewhat, you know, I didn't really get this. There was a quote from someone saying, the mummy world was, like, inspired by Indiana Jones, which, yeah, you completely get that.
Yeah.
You know, 100% you get that idea. And then they said Van Helsing was more inspired by James Bond.
I mean, I don't
know. I don't get that. Like, I mean, I guess he's got gadgets.
I guess he's got gadgets.
And
I guess
he's got a bit of a suave, you know, kind of.
Shags everything in sight.
But, you know, I don't get the star, the idea that this is, I don't, almost, you know.
Yeah.
You know, even if they said this one is also kind of Indiana Jones, then I could kind of get the adventurer kind of thing. Or if this one was Sherlock Holmes inspired, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, I could imagine that. But
James Bond is a weird one.
Yeah, it's like saying that he's like a, you know, this action kind of thing. But yeah, I couldn't get that link at all. But
no.
But I do at the same time believe that, you know, yes, this one goes a little bit more creative. This one is definitely cheesier than the first one.
Yeah, I think this one.
The second one was a bit cheesier. So it's getting a bit closer to this one.
But I think this leads into, I mean, not just is it obviously a lot more about more creatures, you know, you have the mummy obviously, but then the rest of it is kind of, I don't want to say like historically accurate, but it is, it's kind of fair, it's Indiana Jones in its kind of theme and in its characters and in some of how some of the gunfights are, whereas this one, like Van Helsing, I feel like it's happy to lean a bit more into the camp and into the over the top and exaggerated.
It's going full on 30s and 40s universal horror movie, you know. It's like Wolfman meets Frankenstein, that kind of style of film. And that's the kind of stuff that inspired it. And so, I totally get that with the original Mummy, whereas that was more standalone, more of the slightly creepier, but also it did make it into an action film. You know, they reinvented the Mummy with an action film kind of lens on it. So then they thought with this one, it's like, well, we'll keep it the same. We'll keep it in that. We'll have some kind of humour to it. Obviously, the Mummy has a humour to it and stuff like that. I think that the humour definitely lands more with the Mummy than it does here.
I
think their attempts at humour is somewhat childish quite a bit more here. It feels like it's a little... It's weird because it feels like it's sometimes to me feels very... It feels like you said... 12-year-old boy. It feels like this was made for that 12-year-old boy, and it feels like it was made for that humour. But then there's also some quite like darker, more violent elements in this film that then makes it feel like it's more violent than some of the stuff you might have got in the other film. And
well, I think you have, like, to talk about the differences between the films. I think The Mummy, you have Brendan Fraser, who doesn't fall into this very typical action hero vibe. He isn't like Brendan O'Connor, whatever his name is. He isn't kind of like, you know, he isn't dark, he isn't mysterious. He's like a hunky, like, bit of a ditz, you know? Yeah. Like, he's a, you know,
Rick O'Connor,
that's it. He's a bit of like a himbo, you know? And his humour comes from being like, Brendan Fraser is just a very naturally characteristic guy who has good acting, you know, he has good comedy chops, he's got good timing, he knows what he's doing, and it's almost like Brendan Fraser and then the people around him, you know,
he's
the main comedy.
I think he does mainly make it work in some of the other comedy, even in The Mummy, some of it surrounding it is a little bit cheesy, it has a slight cheesiness that does kind of, but luckily because they take the horror a little bit more as like actual like skit, I think more creepy horror in that, it's a little bit more, it does feel more actual, like this is like a really tense.
Well, I think that's the
whereas in this
grounded.
One, it's like completely ungrounded.
It's over the top.
It's over the top kind of horror style. But at the same time, you know, Hugh Jackman and Kate Beckinsale as the leads. If you've got like, you know, you've got like Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz in the original, I think they both work quite well as a kind of the leading groups. I think the actors are both doing, you know, a good job here. I do find though, to us, like, unlike in The Mummy where I think they were also surrounded by quite a strong cast, I find that the problem with this film is that Hugh Jackman and Kate Beckinsale are really strong, and I find a lot of the people around them are overly cheesy and overly like caricatures of what the creatures they're meant to be. That's the bit that gets me with this film.
I kind of liked it. Like, I think I think it leads into it being over the top. I think pretty much everybody is over the top. I mean, if we look at the opening, like, one of the things that I think is great is the soundtrack of this film is a bit kind of different. It's very, like, foreboding. It's very orchestral. It's very, it's quite, like, grand in its scope, you know? It feels bigger than it's going to, than you would be watching a slightly camp film, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think this film is bigger than actually, the film is bigger than I remembered it being, same. As in terms of scale.
Oh, yeah.
And in terms of what they actually try to do within the film at, like, you know, again, 2004 was not that early, but it feels like there's a lot of CGI in this. Like, it feels like before there was this much CGI in the film.
Yeah,
like, it pushes a lot. I'm not necessarily that's a bad thing. I'm just saying he tries for some huge ass action. This is like a action to action to action.
Pretty
you know,
much.
Whereas you know, well, just for like the last Mummy one, whereas the Mummy was kind of like action set piece. Then kind of like more talking, then more kind of a creepy
scene, bit of a horror.
You know, long horror.
Yeah.
Then to some action, you know, and it was a bit more spread out. And this one is just basically like action scene, some exposition, action scene, some, you know, action scene, bigger action scene. Can we make this any bigger? Yeah, we can make this bigger.
Like,
what's the next big scene?
Like talking of, like how that kind of happens is. You get an opening, and I think the opening fucks. You open up with like this great score.
Oh, you
get a throwback to the black and white where these creatures kind of came from, you know, in the throwback to the Universal. And you get... I fucking love Dracula in this. I know a lot of people slate him.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
he's
not a fan.
Yeah, I think he's so like... He just chews the scene, and he's so over the top and so kind of campy. That I just
he
find
is mega
so,
campy.
And I just find it so endearing that instead of like trying to be this like dark foreboding figure, he's just gone like, why don't I basically be like really like theatrical?
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, instead of being like Gary Oldman.
No, he literally said he was trying to, I read what
really?
He actually said. He said he liked Gary Oldman's performance, so he was kind of emulating that.
But it's so different. Because it's so.
I mean, it's not that different.
I think
it's about. It's about as good as Gary Oldman.
No, I mean, well, I love them both, which means they're both great.
Gary Oldman's a far better actor
than
this guy, to be fair.
But,
that's why Gary Oldman pulls it off somewhat.
Yeah,
whereas
maybe
this guy
that's
don't.
It. But you get this, you know, you get this kind of scene which establishes who everybody is, and you get like a little throwback with "It's Alive, It's Alive."
Yeah.
And then I like, you know, like when Dracula kills Frankenstein, and we see like the shadows of it. And we see, we don't see Frankenstein's monster properly. And we see Castle Dracula, or Castle Frankenstein, whichever one it is. We see Dracula get thrown into the fire and he comes out like a skeleton.
Yeah.
And then we see like all of the people chasing after to destroy, you know, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And I think it's massive and it's like quite a bombastic scene. I love it that just somehow this old mill is full of absinthe.
Yeah.
So it explodes somehow. And then after that, we get like, we're straight into another action set piece where Van Helsing scraps
fucking
awesome. Dr. Hyde. Yeah, that
was awesome. Yeah, I know, obviously, again, the CGI has aged, but that's one thing about this film is that, yes, the CGI has aged. Yes, it doesn't look perfect, but it looked pretty good for the time, I thought.
I thought
a lot of the shots looked pretty cool.
The only part where I thought that the CGI started to look really quite bad was towards the very end when we, you know, when Dracula turns.
For me, it was mainly so certain ones. I think it was all right with the werewolf and Dracula kind of battles and stuff. I think, you know, you could tell, you know, the CGI, and you could tell it wasn't really there and stuff like that. But even with the Dracula in his like full on vampiric, you know,
they look good until
they
fight him.
Pretty. Yeah, it was all right. Some of the shots were okay. The ones I think that don't work quite as well. Were the brides of Dracula, the bats, the women like flying around?
I thought they looked good, to be honest.
I thought a lot of those looked like just the flying scenes mainly. But anyway, that was one of the things that was really like a bugbear for me. Like, how many fucking times can they fly down and just grab someone and take them to a place, and then they get them back, and then go to a place and fucking get them
back?
Well,
that's it.
And it was so fucking like, oh my god, seriously. Kate Beckinsale's like, this is about the third time she's been dragged off, and last time she got back, and now she, this time you're keeping her, but still. And it's like, oh, what's going to happen? Now they've got Hugh Jackman and they've decided to swoop down. It's like, fucking hell, someone just remember that there's a fucking flying bat around.
But that's it. We get the scene where, you know, Van Helsing fights Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which is really cool.
Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane. Great.
For a short performance. I really liked that battle. I thought was really cool.
It's fun. It shows that Van Helsing's like a little smart lad.
Yeah, and like, kind of, you know, shows him off, shows that he's, you know, but he's fully in the battle. You know, and even the oddness of the steampunkiness of having these, like, blade swords and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it works. It does just work in the thing. Like I said, Stephen Sommers has a weird way of being able to make something that should be really cheesy, and it is cheesy, but still makes the action good enough that it's actually like, actually this is fun.
Yeah, that's it. And then
it's proper blockbuster to me. It's the kind of film that this film is, for the most part, it is that kind of fun flick that is kind of one, but it's nothing more than that, like, popcorn flick.
You know. But I think we have that scene. And then we have a scene where we meet Faramir. That's all I'm going to call him. We meet Faramir, and he's like, we hear about this family line, and it's like, oh, they said they were going to kill Dracula, and there's two of them left. We have a look around, like, the weapons that are going to come in. You see the real badass crossbow, stakes. You know, they say, like, Van Helsing, you're a naughty boy. To redeem yourself, you've got to kill Dracula. And imagine that. Imagine being like, your boss is like, you've got to go kill Dracula to redeem yourself. And then, literally after that, I think, is another action scene with the werewolf, you know, where they're trying to lure him.
This is a film stitched together on action.
It's action.
It's only because it uses horror monsters that you could almost deem it within horror. Because it's an action film. It's an action horror, but it's like, it's literally like, it's just because they're creature like designs. Like, there's not really, there's definitely nothing about this film that's scary or creepy. It is 100% just because it's a monster movie in the, like, the cheesiest fashion of the classic monster, which is what it is trying to be, to be fair. Which is why, like, that works absolutely fine within that kind of part of it. You know, it's. David, what's his name? Faramir.
Let's call him Faramir.
Faramir, again, he's another character that is basically mainly just uses either the guy to give him gadgets or the guy to make really shit jokes.
And that's it, he's the comedy relief.
But, like, I didn't find him funny. I thought mainly he was just there to just act a bit goofy and act a bit, you know. He is like the character in The Mummy, which is, you know,
Fez or whatever his name is.
Yeah, the one that's wearing, he's wearing a Fez.
He's wearing a Fez.
I can't actually remember what his name is. Benny, Benny. Who is actually in this film. He's Igor in this film. Same actor.
Oh, nice.
He's in all of Stephen Sommers' films.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The Igor character in this one. But yeah, he's like the Benny, but weirdly, Benny, I think, worked better because he was always just getting shit on because he was a dick.
Benny's a little dickhead.
Whereas this guy just feels like the jester falling over and, like, falling down. Even though he's meant to be a brilliant scientist, he's also like, although, you know,
he's a klutz. He's a lab. He's a klutz. We don't take
he
a
pipes,
lab.
Though.
Yeah, he fucking pipes.
He just randomly, like, he's just like a lass comes up to, like, how can I repay you? And
he's just like, let's just gets his cock out.
He's just, yeah, he's literally just like, I'm just gonna.
He's just like, let's just fuck. How
he's
about
like
that,
you know. And she's like, you're not allowed to do that, are you? And he's just like, I want to get me little Friar Tuck in the chapel.
He's just like, let's just fuck.
He's like, don't worry. It's like, even if I'm not allowed to do this, I'm not in my town.
Nobody knows.
God don't know shit.
God can't see me. You know,
God is not here. Good, I can get me dick.
And he's just there's just like a 20-25 minute segment where he's just fucking pestering this girl for sex, and it's really uncomfortable, and you're like, Stephen Sommers, why did you include this, man? And he's like, oh, I've created this new machine, and it's like a condom, you know. And it's like, why are you showing Hugh Jackman this, you know? That's the director's cut that I watched. I don't know if that was in the one that you watched. You know,
the director's cut.
The director's cut.
The diddler's cut.
The diddler's cut,
like,
yeah.
This is like, so, like I said, my relationship with this film, I have not seen this film in possibly close to the anniversary of this film,
which is so, tomorrow.
You know, yeah,
the 7th.
I think I'm somewhere between 15 to 20 years of seeing this film, because when I was this should have been to me, and I remember from my friend like I think my friend Josh like loved this film, and I know loads of people who were like loved this film of my age, and yeah. I just remember watching it and just being like, this is just shit. This is just mindless action scenes, and this is just literally.
This is just rubbish. Hot women.
Rubbish, like dialogue, terrible script, and things like that. And this is just like that was just it. And it was like, as much as I thought I should like this film, I was like, just something just doesn't work. Might have been because, you know, it was about the time I started liking horror, and I was like, this isn't fucking horror. This is shit.
Horror, yeah.
This isn't fucking Dracula. This isn't fucking Frankenstein. This is bullshit. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Didn't like about this. And which is why I've had this film on my kind of... This film is within the crap fest of what we call action horror, which is of that time, which is your Resident Evils, your Underworld, your Legion, or whatever you fucking had, or Preacher, or I can't remember whatever. You know, Paul Bettany starred in like several random films, but all of shit quality, like an Underworld film. And I think I've only seen half of an Underworld film, and Kate Beckinsale, you're better in this than you are in that, because I just thought they were all shite.
I watched one, I randomly decided to watch like the second or third one a couple of years ago. I was ill from work, and that's just what, I think I was borrowing your Now TV, and that was on there, and I watched it, and I was like, this is a fucking crock of shit.
That's when you decide to end your life. I was already ill, and I was like, nah, that's it, I'm done.
I was like, I'm even going to watch this, and I'm going to quit my job and work at CEX, and it's going to be the best thing ever, or I'm just going to fucking off myself. And it came close, you know? Yeah. I had the application form, I had a noose, and it's like, which way is it going, man?
But what I can say is that I do deem actually having rewatched this film, and I have rewatched Resident Evil, you know, the first Resident Evil, you know, is...
We've covered Resident Evil,
yeah, in the past. Go find it.
Yeah,
it's fine, but it's like a fine of like, yeah, it's enjoyable, it's cheesy, it's terribly written, and it's kind of shit, but it's, you know, it's all right.
It's the asshole.
Yeah, we keep coming back in recent episodes. The asshole. It is the asshole of an episode. You've just revealed that's an episode that goes after this episode.
Maybe,
we're out of timeline here. Right, we're breaking our time. We're going to go into a different universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a real. I do deem this film, actually having watched it now, like to be above that level of crap fest. But still on that level of, you know, we're talking like, well, I guess you said ones earlier. We're talking like the recent King Kong films, or like the King Kong Godzilla
best
films
of all time.
Or the Fast and Furious films, where it's like so...
I would put this above so Fast and Furious. I'm sorry. I have to put my foot down.
Maybe they're better written than I think some of this is.
I have to put my foot down on this being a Fast and Furious level. Come on.
I'm not saying like recent Fast and Furious, but you know, around about five or six or something like that. You know, kind of, it's balls to the wall, it's stupid, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And this kind of is what this film is. It is that. But I do. I definitely deem that Stephen Sommers is a fun director who knows how to shoot an action scene.
Yeah.
Based on the timeline, that he does know what to do with CGI, considering he made The Mummy look so good when it was only 1999, and that's still like, again, it's not that some of it doesn't look fake, but it still mainly like looks good
and
enough to watch. Unlike, say, watching, you know, The Returns, where like I don't know what happened to that part of the scene, but anyway, it does kind of hold up in that way, so it's got that fun. But I do deem that Stephen Sommers, you are a better director than you are a writer.
Yeah.
Because I do think that if you really look into the plot of this film, I know it's meant to be cheesy, but most of what the characters say, or most of like the character development, is pretty like nothingness.
No,
here.
I think you're...
I'm not saying it's meant to be, but you know, it's just not, you know, there's a really nice, if we are comparing to his best film, The Mummy, then there's a really nice kind of character arc there, and there's a, like a love story, and there's a there's an interesting story to follow, and it's just the one thing that I still deem, and I do know why I didn't quite enjoy this film, is looking back, I can now really embrace the action scenes in this film, which maybe I just wasn't as bothered about action stuff back then.
Because the action scenes are good.
The action scenes are awesome. I really enjoyed most of the action scenes. When it's in action, it's enjoying it. When it's doing anything with the characters... I wasn't really bothered. Like,
I think like the main, you obviously have the opening scrap. You have a little one with a werewolf where her brother gets scratched up.
Yeah.
Or falls off the cliff, whatever. And then the main kind of one is when Van Helsing turns up and he scraps the brides of Dracula. And it's a real good fight. The brides are sexy as hell. They're kind of they're real like pretty horrid. You have some like campy bits that are also a bit like, oh, that's a bit grim, you know, where they like swoop down and take people away and drink them, throw people through stuff, and then there's that one where they're like draining the blood off, you know.
It has a few of those like
gory-ish
kind of moments, like gory on sinister, a PG 13 12A level of like gore,
and they're playing with them, you know, and it's quite, you know, I think that fight's real cool. But I think one thing that we spoke about before was that we both forgot just how long the film is.
Yeah, because this didn't feel like it was going to be a 2 hour and 10 minute long film. And it's not actually that long, because for some reason I think there's almost like 20 minutes of credits on this film. It's a long ass credits. But
it's it's over 2 hours, I'm sure, man.
It is on the thing. I think it was under, for the actual film to end, it was under 2 hours actually in the end without credits. By the time we got to the thing,
because
I think I still had about 18 minutes left on the film when it got to the credits.
Fair beat. Because like,
but that is out of a 200, so it's only it's like
just
an hour and 55 minutes, which still just felt like I said to you. So I like watching this film, I think the scene you just described where they're flying down and stuff like that, you know. Because it feels like Van Helsing's already gone on somewhat of a journey and finding out about Dracula, and now I'm going to travel to his lair, and then here it is, getting to that. But they're already talking about Dracula doing his plan about the Dracula babies and, you know, bringing them back. And he's in the middle of trying to do that, you know, bringing them back, and you're like, oh God, they're coming. And they start coming back to life, and then you've got the... I'm just going to call them the brides, basically. You know, they're swooping down, and it feels like you've just had like lots of action scenes already, and then here we are in like whoa, here it is. And I was doing that, I was like, okay, yeah, we're kind of building, you know, they're going to have to go. I know there's more coming, but this is like that third act, like we're about to go into the castle and we're about to go and do that.
It's going
to
be on the main
we're going to stop that, and here we go. And then that's when I was like, oh, we're into this bit. And I was suddenly like, oh, I bet, you know, I was like, oh, that's good. It feels like this is a natural progression now. And I suddenly went like, oh, I'm just going to quickly get a drink. I was like, it's fucking an hour and 10 minutes into the film. There's still an hour, like there's still over an hour to go. What the fuck?
I was like, what the hell?
What the hell? I was like, it feels like we've reached our kind of, you know, we've reached the third act, and now...
It's really climactic.
Yeah.
You know? And it feels like, oh shit.
Because it's like the whole village is getting like torn apart and everything, and you're like, it's almost
we know where we need to get to now.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're just starting to feel that. I know that Frankenstein at that point actually hadn't come back in the film. It's just throwaway. You're just thinking, oh, maybe then Frankenstein was just, you know, part of a setup for something else.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Throw a bone.
Yeah.
And then, I paused it and I was like, what the fuck? It's got like, it's like an hour. It's like an hour and
this is one of the bits when Kate Beckinsale is like taken by them, lifting up, and then this isn't the first time she's taken, because then she manages to get back and gets back down to the ground, and you know, and she gets back down, and then this is then followed by then that like really cool, like really good, well shot the carriage chase scene, but it's another scene that comes almost like we're talking like
that's, they've got that, Frankenstein that's... at that point, haven't they?
What, when they do the carriage scene?
Because first you have Frankenstein. And the plan is, or the Castle Dracula, whatever. And the plan is, we're gonna hook up a werewolf to a machine to power the babies by lightning.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously it doesn't work. The babies fucking die. But you have that scene where Dracula and Van Helsing come face to face, and he's like, Gabriel, you know, and he's like telling him about like his backstory. And that very much feels like, oh, maybe that's something that they're teasing for the second
film. Yeah, yeah.
Not the second half, you know, because then...
It then goes, because it feels like you go to the point when you're like, ah, so now all they need to do is just go to the castle, which it feels like in a lot of films would be like, right, ah, oh, there's the castle.
Yeah.
Let's just go, like, head towards it, like, get on your horses or whatever, go and head towards it, get in the carriage, let's go towards that. And then it actually turns out that there's, like, a whole other part of a film that then is, like, before they ever get to that castle properly to go and confront Dracula.
Yeah.
It feels like there's such a long time between, like, the first time he tries to do the Dracula babies. And actually finally getting to back to that kind of plot again. I do feel like I somewhat lost what was happening in order for them to get back. I think it's Frankenstein.
I can't remember how they found Frankenstein. Because the last I remember is...
I thought it was... He was in the middle of a cave, wasn't he? They go in the like water and he's like hidden within the cave in like a tomb or something.
Yeah,
like.
But here's what I remember happening is... I remember they free the werewolf and then... the babies die, and then Van Helsing escapes from Dracula because he's like he holds the cross, which is cool. He stakes him, I think, and doesn't do anything. Mm. And he's like, you can't fucking kill me, lad, I'm already dead. And then he escapes, and I looked away literally for like a minute or two to write some notes, and I looked back and they were in a cave and they were like, we found the monster. Or he's like, he's...
Well, that's after the Friar's given the last the pipe in, isn't it?
Maybe.
I think so. Because he sees the knights on the wall and then he realises that it's that, and he somehow manages to come to the conclusion that that's how they then leads them to go that. So when Hugh Jackman, Van Helsing, comes back kind of thing, they're like, oh, we need to go to this and we need to go and find, and here's the next MacGuffin of what we need to find. And... You know, although that scene with Dracula was one of the few scenes where I didn't mind Dracula because it was actually somewhat more serious of a scene. It was less hammy because it was more of like, you don't remember your past and you don't remember who you are. And,
I love it. I love how hammy it is. I won't lie. I think like he's camp as fuck. It's class.
He is proper camp as fuck. I just couldn't get with any of that. Any time, to be honest, half the time... This is why I'm like, I switched my brain off and almost stopped listening to the dialogue because the dialogue was awful.
Gabriel.
I just thought, I was just listening. Every time I was actually like, I tuned back in, and every time I was listening back to whatever random exposition or MacGuffin they were on about that we need to go to next, I was like, and I'm switching back off again because that's just fucking bullshit. Whatever you've just said is just not... Like, you're just mixing these genres together, you know, these monsters together into this weird, like... And now we must find the... What's the werewolf, the le word with the liner? Lycanthrope? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We must take that of the DNA and we must, you know, and we will and kill the... Da, 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 da. And it was just like, fuck it out. You're like, Jesus Christ. And then you even get to Frankenstein, who tells you a little bit of a, like a... Oh, no, but I know you need this and they need me and I need that. And it's like, okay, great. Frankenstein... was also, although I loved like some of the things they do with his design, I don't like his design. I think it just looks far too giant and far too oversized and far too just... It's just too big. It looks too much like a giant costume on top of someone.
I liked his design. I liked that his brain was like detracting.
I like the design. One bit I do like is when they first come into the cave, they basically smash his head.
They bonk his
several
head.
Several parts of his head like comes apart. I really liked. I thought that was really cool, and I got more with the design I went. But at first, looking at it, I was like, it just it's too like blue in the wrong way kind of blue, and it's too like it just...
I liked him. He was just such a fucking cuck, you know. He's just like hiding in a cave, and then he's moaning, kill me, but I want to live.
Later on he's like, I want to live,
but I want love
and I want friendship. It's like, I mean, yeah, that's Frankenstein, I guess. But
and then they put him in the, you know, they knock him out and they put him in that tomb, and I'm just like, Frankenstein, did you put up a fight? Like, you look like you're still on the same slab that you were asleep on. You know, I just thought that he was like a fucking
He was just dull. That's what I mean. He was just dull in that way. Like,
I was glad when I saw him in pain when he was being electrocuted.
Which is not how you should feel about no. Frankenstein's monster.
I wanted him to die. I had no sympathy for this revolting, rotten creature. You know.
Let's just say, when they were in action mode, because I didn't have to give a shit about whatever crap they were saying, then I was enjoying it. So when Frankenstein is later gliding down those ropes and like swinging across the whole top and like falling through the air, I'm like, I kind of like the look of you now because you're falling to your death. But
you're about to die.
It's the same with Dracula. It's like when Dracula was in his bat form, I was like, yeah, you look kind of cool. I can deal with this. But when he was, you know, with his, you know, fake little wiggy hair back kind of thing, I was just like, and doing his little Germanian kind of accent.
I love it.
I was just like,
I can't believe he was like, ah, oh, I saw Gary Oldman.
He said he liked that kind of Gary Oldman style, thinking that's what Gary Oldman was doing. Hammy.
Yeah, he does remind me of more like a classic one, you know. He's fairly,
I think it was Gary Oldman and one of the older ones. I don't think it was Bela Lugosi.
No, he doesn't strike me quite as Bela Lugosi.
I can't think of who the other Lee. One is. It's not those two. No, it was another one.
But he strikes me as almost,
I say, Louis Guzman.
he doesn't strike me as Louis Guzman or Loose Guzman, but he almost reminds me a bit of like you know, Frankenstein in like Monster Squad.
Yeah, that kind of
something like that, you know, where it is a bit like over the top and it's a bit, and it's really camp and it's like
proper
that kind
yeah.
of thing. And he's having fun with it, you know.
I think it's not fun. It's having fun. I just generally just think it just borders on such a cheesy level when all of them are kind of like that. But at the same time, I don't feel quite like Hugh Jackman quite matches that tone, and even Kate Beckinsale is doing actually a quite good Eastern European accent. It could have gone way cheesy. In fact, the brides sound like they sound like the really bad, like stereotypical kind of one. Whereas Kate Beckinsale actually sounds quite like natural and fluent. I was actually quite surprised at her sounding like so good as it did.
Yeah.
So they almost sound too like, it's like those two. If you took those two characters and then decided to do a crossover with Van Helsing and The Mummy and put those characters together, that would totally work because of those characters. Yeah. But if you put Rick O'Connell suddenly in the middle of all of these monsters in this like thing, it just wouldn't, because it's just not the same world. It's just not, too corny, it's too cheesy. You need that balance. Like, you could definitely have Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing and Rick O'Connell and they'd work perfectly together because they are kind of more grounded. And that's the problem. Like, it's like those guys work like that, and yet it kind of feels like they slightly don't totally exist in the same world at the same time. Yeah. And then, so because of that, it just kind of, because they're playing cheesy and they're almost playing it straight, you know. And I'm not saying I want him to be like, I'm like a goofball of Van Helsing, but because of that, it felt a little bit like too much of a mix of a genre. So it started to feel a little bit like, basically, you guys are the good actors and you guys are really hammy and shite kind of actors.
Yeah,
and
I guess the villains are naturally going to be more over the top, you know. I'd rather the villains be over the top than the heroes, you know.
Then
the villains are just playing it straight and Van Helsing's fucking really happy, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a little bit fair. They said there was a James Bond thing. Actually, James Bond tends to have a, James Bond is this straight laced cool dude, but sometimes his villains are like proper, like hammy, like stroking a cat, but I was gonna use a different word for cat. I was like, why am I still making it dirty?
No.
I'm trying to make it crude on purpose.
I mean, you saying that you stroke it is
stroke is enough. Like, he's just stroking.
He's just stroking whilst James Bond comes in. He's like, Bond, he's just beating off, you know, just real relaxed with it, you know.
There you go. That's what the Dracula stroking it off to Hugh Jackman.
That's where it got like. He was like, he called Richard Roxburgh and he was like, have you seen, you know, have you seen the James Bond villains, you know, where they're just sat there, you know, just stroking and then the light cut out. And he's like, I'm just going to beat off at every scene. Just beat it.
Yeah, I mean, so some of the real pluses for this film, as I said, I do believe that this film works really well as an action film.
Yeah.
And I just think that what lets this film down, and I think what I always had a slight problem with this film, is just it's mainly due to any parts that are not the action scenes. It's like as a mindless film, I can take this on that level. When it gets to any of the exposition or general, just like the characters talking and stuff, I just didn't think it worked. I just didn't think the dialogue sounded like believable. It just sounded too corny, too cheesy, too over. Yeah, it just didn't sound natural to me. But one of the things I really do like, for the most part, I've already mentioned, is those visual touches for the monsters.
Yeah,
I do like the look of different. Like I said, I've got kind of things with Frankenstein because I just think it looks a bit too. It reminds me too much of the Thing from Fantastic Four.
I can understand that.
You got a dude and you've just put a huge layer on top of him, and it's just a bit too. But not that it doesn't have like those cool, but because they wanted to have things like the brain and stuff, it feels like they then had to make it even bulkier for that to work. You see what I mean? Yeah. It's that. So I kind of got that. I've got problems with that kind of somewhat, but the other set, you know, like the werewolf looks perfectly like classic kind of where, you know,
I think,
and I like the fact there's differences.
CGI. Yeah, the differences.
So her brother, for instance, Kate Beckinsale's Anna, I think it is.
Yeah.
Her brother, who has a very kind of foreign sounding name.
Vicar, something like that.
His werewolf doesn't look the same as Hugh Jackman's werewolf. Yeah. They have differences, like their body. Oh, and actually what I really loved actually was when her brother first changes.
Yes.
I love that skin tearing away. I thought was
the
really cool.
The climb up the wall. It was very, yeah. It felt very much like a tribute to like a bit of American Werewolf,
yeah.
You know, where it is.
But it's just that effect, even though it was like CGI.
It looked good.
There was something almost like really like comforting in that. It's like watching a video of, I don't know, when someone's smoothing something out. So there was so weirdly, I felt quite soothing about the skin just like tearing away and revealing like the fur growing underneath.
Yeah.
And then when he turns back, it's the opposite. So the fur starts to tear away and
the
skin starts to grow back.
Through.
And I don't know why, but there was so just so perfectly going from like one layer to another layer. So it was like one of those videos where people watch like things get crushed by a machine to turn into like jelly or something, you know, or like you just sat there like, yeah, I can't remember what there's a term for that, isn't there? But you know, I could
like
just sit there all day and watch someone's skin peel.
Oh, this is good. And it looked good for CGI. It looked good because
it did.
The problem was a lot of the like Underworld had it where they just had absolute ass transformations.
Oh yeah,
you know,
they did practical, didn't they? They did quite practical ones.
I remember them doing CGI, and it looked absolute ass.
I remember being really turned off because I remember it being. They definitely had, at least for the first one anyway, they have practical ones, kind of like Dog Soldiers.
Well, Dog Soldiers was...
Dog Soldiers
worked. The vampires looked awesome.
But Dog Soldiers kind of worked because it only is really revealed at the very end, a lot of that, so it kind of worked. Whereas in this one, it was meant to be like all about like battling werewolves and stuff. So it's kind of like, when you've got like that running towards you and half the film's built around that costume, it just doesn't work as well. You know what I mean? It's not like American Werewolf, where it's also like, because of American Werewolf, you're like, well, how come that could look so fucking awesome, but you now look like a bloke in a hairy wig.
Well, the problem was, and this is like something that I do really like about this film, is that like Prisoner of Azkaban came out, and obviously that had a werewolf in it, and everybody starts creaming their pants, and it's like, oh, the new design of the 2000s is for a werewolf. We can't have them be hairy and like big and muscly anymore. They gotta look like fucking whippets, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're just like real smooth skin.
Yeah.
Like fucking elongated beady heads, you know?
Yeah.
Like absolute shit and like scamper around.
Whereas this is like a
this
proper
is like an
hairy
actual
beast.
Proper hairy beast. This
yeah,
is a,
yeah, yeah, full on, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly as you imagine Hugh Jackman's chest would look when he takes his top off. Just
before werewolves were
before
woke,
he
you
had
know?
To go smooth for muscles.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But I don't know, I think like the werewolves look good and the transformations looked good. It's just like one of the main things that I kind of really don't really like about the film is that it's just like there's this random convenience where they're like, Well, we're trying to find Dracula's castle. We've got Frankenstein. There's a really good scene at the ball, you know, where it reveals that all of them are vampires.
Yeah.
It's very strange, though, because you have the really cool carriage chase where you have the brides and you have the werewolf. They're trying to get Frankenstein in the carriage. It's quite, you know, it's real action packed.
It's a really good action scene.
Yeah.
That one's actually not the flying around them, but a lot of that is more practical than a lot of the rest of the film, and it does work better.
And one of the brides dies then, but then when they get to Budapest the next day or later, it's like it's the daytime when one of the brides is about.
Yeah.
And the bride takes Anna and it's like the middle of the day.
But it is the middle of the day when they do that attack on the village. It's the day.
But it's dark.
It's cloudy, isn't it? It's all clouded over. Yeah.
Whereas it's not dreamy, I swear.
Yeah.
I remember watching.
It doesn't feel like it plays on the sunlight bit that much. It feels like they kind of let that rule go out of the window, I guess.
Halfway through the film, because when they have the first fight, the sun comes out and they all hide.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Is the plot kind of really hanging around this whole baby Dracula bat things is one kind of part that I feel like is just like it didn't really do much for me, to be honest. And I didn't really like the designs of the baby bat. Like, they are one bit of the CGI that didn't really look good. It did look like little blobs of fat things like flying about.
Yeah.
And they weren't really like if you're going to do something like that, it feels like they should look like the most terrifying creatures that come. Egg sacs. I think they were practical.
They
look
practical.
Yeah, so those look really cool. I really liked those, but when you actually see these like little things, like there's one when they accidentally step back into one and break a bit of it, and then the hand comes through.
Yeah,
that's cool. But when you actually see them and you see like those like hundreds of them all like layered up and stuff, it just doesn't look good, and it doesn't add anything to the film because he's constantly trying to like, you're just kind of there like. Dracula, like, what? Like, why do you really need to have these millions of
bats? I mean, I guess one of the
what does that help in... It's like classic, like, you know, just thinking, like, I feel like Dracula just wouldn't give a shit about that anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't care for his children, you know. So, what, like, he wants this as, like, a way to rule the world or something like that, like, with his bats or... That was the logic I was like kind of losing in coming. I was like, I don't really know why you really want to do this. Like, why is this such an important thing to get all these monsters and really at the end of the day risk your life by bringing a lot of people that are trying to kill you to you?
Yeah,
you know, just to bring these bats to life. It's just it's that kind of bit. And I feel like the whole quest for this to have that happen is the part where the film feels a little bit overlong and a little bit overstuffed.
Yeah,
because they're trying to shove too many ideas in. And I feel like just the idea of Van Helsing trying to seek Dracula and Dracula sending the bride, you know, and like stopping them from getting near and him having that, I don't think you needed the whole like, I'm going to create this bat army, it just adds too much.
Going back to what they look like.
Yeah.
They don't look great, but then you end up a bit stuck because you're just like, they look like these kind of deformed bat things and they don't look good, but then what do you have? Do you just have like these egg sacs they break open and it's just babies in there? Like helpless babies.
I mean, there's the fib, but this is one of those things when a bat creature in CGI, in poor CGI, is different than if you had a bunch of practical bat baby looking things.
Yeah, which could have probably done better.
Which would have at least felt a bit more kind of, you know, there's just that line between, that's the line that comes with practical, where even if you see something and go, that's a puppet, you can still sometimes respect that more than, that's a really bad CGI bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that line between it. It's like, I'm just thinking of The Rock again in The Mummy Returns, just going like, you're just looking at that going like, why did you CGI The Rock? Like, why didn't you just CGI the legs? why of all the things, why did you decide, you know what, the only way to make him look real? Because the top of his body just looks like The Rock, but a blob, amorphous blob version.
Yeah.
And you're just there like, what made you go, oh, I'm just not going to go practical with this? Instead, it's like
graft his skin on
Jet. The Rock
Jenny.
Wasn't available for like this scene. Like, what, the only scene he's in the film?
Yeah, scene, yeah.
Then don't do The Rock, be the Scorpion.
So weird.
But yeah, I think it is that line between like, there is a point when like practical works like better than others. And this film does pull off scenes that look actually like really strong for the CGI, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
As I said, like building some of the towers and the cities that are just like mainly CGI is like quite impressive.
Yeah. And then some of the sets they make are really good.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, as I said, like, I'm not saying it looks perfect. They look about the same as say like a Harry Potter, like, you know, when you have the, I think in like the first one or two when they have
like
the troll. It looks about like that level of like thing. But at the same time, it didn't take me out of the scene when he was like talking and acting, and that's somewhat raised by Robbie Coltrane, I think, doing the voice and bringing something into short scene, bringing something to the character a little bit. But it didn't take me out of that scene having that be like a fully CGI. I was actually like, oh, that's actually kind of cool for the side. At the time, I was like, I forgot that completely.
Yeah.
So I was like, at the time, I would have thought that would be a pretty awesome scene. Like, people seeing that would have been like, oh
this
what
is
fucking hell,
class.
That's cool.
It is. It's a cool opener, you know?
You know, and also to show him in that way, because the only other time I could think of it is in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, was it?
Which around the same
was
time.
That, is it Extraordinary Gentlemen?
There was, no. Yes, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I always get it confused with the League of Gentlemen.
Well, I'm mixing it up with the British TV.
Yeah, the League of Gentlemen.
League of Gentlemen. That is the League of Gentlemen. Mixing it up with, you know.
Local
League
people.
I mean, that's an absolute class show. It's
local
a big,
things for local people.
The Sean Connery League of Extraordinary, whereas in that one they show him, but they've done like a practical, like, big, muscular, like, weird. Which
Richard Roxburgh was in that as well.
Doesn't totally, you know, and again, but even in that version, it doesn't totally work because it looks so obviously like this big, thick kind of thing. But they both have their merits. But
you
I like this kind of fine
round. On Letterboxd.
Did I give it a free
you gave
star?
It a free star.
I've not seen that film in a very long time. I'm surprised I gave it. I that one I remember seeing in the cinema. I remember having a bit of a nostalgia bit for that one, to be fair. I quite liked that at the time. I thought that was a kind of a cool one. But it probably has aged terribly.
It was 2.5 on overall whilst Van
Helsing. I mean, to be honest, in my head, I feel like if I rewatched that, I would be putting that about the same as I put Van Helsing. And they're very similar in my head kind of films, but one's went a bit more practical, to be honest. One's a bit more CGI.
I don't think I ever saw it. I saw it and I don't remember it, you know.
I think if you like this film, you would enjoy that film.
I enjoy this film, so I'm going to have to definitely
You're going to have to watch that one. Yeah, I've lost track of where my bones
go. I think it's the. I think we're kind of getting towards the part where they actually do go to, you know, Dracula's castle. You have the bit at the when they arrive at Budapest, and it's during the day, and the bride of Dracula says, "We'll swap Anna for Frankenstein, bring him to this masquerade ball," and then it's. There is one bit I like, and I would have liked to have seen a bit more, to be honest, where they leave Frankenstein in the grave, and he's like, you know, isn't Dracula going to be able to get him? And Van Helsing's like, not unless he has any help from the dead. And you see like a grave open. I would have liked to have seen a bit more of that. Maybe that would be quite cool. But you know, we get a scene where Anna's dancing with with Dracula. And then it's revealed that everybody there is a vampire. Dracula, Van Helsing swoops down on a fucking vine or something. A vine in the middle of this ballroom, like George in the Jungle, swoops her up. And then Dracula's like, get that lad, fucking have him.
And then they release those bombs.
Yeah, they release that bomb then.
Turn them all into
skeletons, which is cool.
Oh, yeah, because they're all vampires, aren't they?
They're all vampires.
So they're like light bombs, aren't they?
It's like the
so
power.
So light
sun.
Does
yeah.
have them.
It does, yeah, it does. I don't get it.
It does have an effect.
I don't get
so
it, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that's what the bombs are meant to be. They're meant to be like bright light,
Well, it has the power of the sun works again 15 minutes later, you know. Maybe it's like a certain time of day. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, that, to be honest, talking about that the Frankenstein part, that is also a bit, you know, they bury him back in that just for the sake of doing that. And it feels like you have, like, what, like the carriage scene and then that ball scene, and then you're like, And it's basically like, oh yeah, oh fuck yeah, we've got to get Frankenstein back out now, don't we? To move the plot along, we've got to get Frankenstein back out now. So it all feels a little bit like, well, there was no point in fucking burying him in the first place, but it feels like we've got to get him back.
Yeah, take him with you.
Yeah, and then
send him to Rome or something. Let them just kill him.
And then once he is in it, he just seems to be like doddering about and getting like in the next scrape after a next scrape. And Frankenstein's just getting like, oh, I'm in this. Oh no, I'm on this. Oh, help, I'm off the tower.
I'm in a
I need to battle. Oh, they're trying to kill me.
Everyone's trying to kill me. Yeah, because you're fucking annoying. Everybody hates you. You're an abomination to man and God and science. We should just destroy you. And then this is the part that I kind of don't. I'm always like, it's really shit, is when they're like back at Anna's family, like ancestral home, and there's that big like map of Transylvania, and they're like, my father's father, and it's fucking a whole line of lads who came from fucking ball sacks, sat there for days and for hours on end, staring at this map, trying to figure out where it came from, and Van Hel, and then somebody's like, Carl is telling the story, and he's like, oh mate, this is the gateway, and then he moves a fucking table and there's like a bit of it missing, and it's like, oh, this is the bit that we've got. It just it's so convenient.
Yeah,
and
so it's like, oh no,
you're telling me like hundreds of generations or like generations have sat here and been like, nah, I'm gonna keep this slightly obscure.
I'm not even gonna touch it. I'm not gonna move that bit.
It's so shit, you know.
Yeah, I've already said that I generally think that the story outline and the whole basically the scripting of this is not good.
No,
it's an impressive kind of monster movie action film that is sadly brought down by the lack of a real which is too bad, because I think there is a lot of good ideas here that could have been a really good franchise. If I just think they needed a little bit of reining in. Even on like The Mummy, so Stephen Sommers did write The Mummy, but the story for The Mummy was written by several people, so it was several like versions that got to that point. And even other things he's done have had like several writers, but this is the one when he did it all himself, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. And I think he needed someone else to come in and go, you know what? You don't need that. Bring that down.
Yeah.
Tighten that up. Bring those things together, and you know, think about some fucking plot holes here, mate. Yeah. This shit don't make sense. You know, it feels like he'd made one of the biggest hits, you know, in recent memory at the time. You know, he'd made a huge film. They were like, here you go, here's your check. We want more monster movies. We think this is going to be huge for us. We're Universal. We should have monster movies. You can make whatever movie you want. We trust you because you made The Mummy. And you made The Mummy Return. Both of those were a huge hit for us. So do what you want. And it's one of those cases of giving someone maybe a little bit too much free rein.
Yeah.
Not reining them in enough to be like, oh shit, we really should have looked at these daily, shouldn't we? Checked what was going on here.
Because The Mummy's quite sleek in its storytelling. And then I think once you get to, I mean, The Scorpion King is kind of it's a bit more bloated. Whereas this one, it almost feels like if they'd have fucked Frankenstein off, and if they'd have kept it as like we said, that first hour, or maybe had a few more scenes and made it just be like an hour and 25 minutes, an hour and a half, it would be like a lot tighter, and you'd be able to look at the performances and be like, maybe they're hammy and I either like that or I don't like that, but at least like it flows and it's kind of like a straightforward and it's not too bloated. I think once you start getting like fucking Frankenstein, and so this person gets kidnapped, and then we're going to trade him, and then he fucking gets kidnapped anyway, so we might as well have just traded him. And then, oh, this fucking big map that we haven't unearthed is a doorway.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of starts...
It's like that. It is that classic, here's the MacGuffin, and here's the next one, and here's another one, and here's that one, and we got to bring all of that together to make one kind of, you know, story here. But It's just in, and then you've also got the way that obviously they're mixing the mythology of different monsters, and that again gets a bit convoluted by the different like ways they're trying, the amount of different things it feels like they're trying to do, like say Dracula and what he can do and who he's got and how he can use his powers and what he can actually do with his powers and how he is the cure to the werewolf for some reason, just to be
a plot device, hasn't he?
Just because Hugh Jackman suddenly, Van Helsing suddenly is attacked by a werewolf. And then it's like, Frankenstein's like,
he's got a cure.
Dracula can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get it off Dracula, mate. He's got
one.
He's just got one. And it just so happens that the one cure, the only cure he's got, which you kind of start to think, well, why the fuck do you want that, Dracula? Why would you keep that about? Because you're using them for your own good. So why would you go, I've got it in one. I've got one, literally one. Because when they said, that Dracula is the cure, I was thinking as in like his blood, like his bile, his blood, literally him, not a syringe inside some kind of acid in the middle of the thing. He's got one thing and he's thinking, and it's also just that kind of like, so it's one thing in there, so someone comes in, so the only thing you've done to deter them, apart from, you know, a cage around the thing, is like, so how do we stop them from ever getting this? All right, we put it in our asset, basically. Because no one could just knock this phase off and step back.
No one would do that.
No. That's never going to happen, is
obviously,
it?
Obviously, you see something, you know, extremely valuable in a clear liquid. You just stick your hand in there, of course.
Exactly, and it's just that. But it just is, and it's also just more to me of the fact of like, I liked the idea actually somewhat, because we know that Dracula is ancient and has, you know, has a very special like a biology to him and things like that. That yes, somewhere within his biology or within whatever actually is in his blood or whatever his blood is or whatever is the bile inside of him could actually have some kind of healing ability within it that might actually stop the werewolf.
Yeah.
So I was like in my head going, oh yeah, I kind of like the idea that actually they need to kill Dracula to basically use something from him in order to cure themselves. Yeah. I was like, that kind of works. So that's why it's even more like, oh, you meant a fucking syringe in a jar. Literally is just like, and it's just that, like, look at it, like, it feels like it's literally only there for the sole purpose of giving Anna and the other guys something to do while Hugh Jackman. Like, while Van Helsing goes off to fight Dracula, it's like, oh, they needed something to do. We've still got one of the brides left, so we need to have somewhere for them to meet up. But they need to have their own story. I need to have an extra subplot on top of the several subplots I've already got going at once, with Frankenstein and with Dracula and with the babies and with the townsfolk. I need several of these to go. So it's like, what I need to do is have another one for them to go down and they're going to have a syringe. But obviously he knows better. He's like, never put your hand in that kind of liquid. It's like, I knew that was acid.
Yeah.
it's just so like,
and it's
long-winded for an idea that could have been so simplified and actually connected to Dracula instead. I didn't laugh out loud, but I was just sat there like, why?
Yeah, I'm also, it's something weird, like he'll be a werewolf and he'll turn at the full moon, but he won't stay as a werewolf, or he can be cured as long as it's before the last fucking chime.
I didn't mind the whole, like, the idea of Van Helsing going into battle is the fact that he could get into these kind of scrapes and stuff like that, so I was fine with the idea of the werewolf attacking him and it adds something throughout the film. You know, I don't really see what was wrong with just having Van Helsing, because he's a badass character.
I don't think he needed to be a werewolf,
and this version of Van Helsing technically does somewhat push away from, you know, because he's meant to be like all these different things, isn't he, like a historian, a philosopher, an archaeologist, you know, he's literally like maker. Every fucking thing that he can do, he's a doctor, he can do whatever the fuck. He's meant to be this brilliant guy kind of thing, and I can't say they quite like sell all of those parts of him.
He's kind of just this action badass, dude.
He's a mysterious badass, but I liked that kind of, yeah, that I didn't mind it. It didn't need it. It would have worked fine without it, but I was like, okay, fine. At least there's like somewhat of an additional stake here that you've added in. Yeah. Like, that's fine. So he needs to, and you know, the scenes when he starts like acting out or going, you know, big, you know, the, like his body's changing or he's getting violent towards the rest of them really yeah. works. But it just, it just all felt like extra add-on.
Yeah.
That didn't need it to be in the film kind of thing. It's just, this is where I kind of think like the campy cheesy was fine, but it definitely felt like it could have done with a, like we've said, The Mummy is a much more streamlined film.
Yeah.
It's literally like, we go there, we try to find it, we accidentally release them. Shit, we've got to try and like get away from it. Oh no, she's part of what he wants. We've got to protect her. Okay, haven't protected her. Now we've got to kill the mummy. That's it. That's the film. You know what I mean? That it's a simple classic looking at the thing, and they looked at classic monster movies and went, "That's the story." Basically, we just need to adapt that, and we're going to add some more action. We're going to make it more of an action film. This felt like it literally took like several of those monster movies and went, right, well, they did that in that film, that in that film, that, and let's put them all together and let's just make it up.
That'll work.
You know, the mishmash, it's like they took the mishmash too far. Just having the monsters was enough.
Like,
you didn't need to mash all of the mythology so much that you needed a million subplots.
I think they should have cut Frankenstein out, and they should have not had Van Helsing become a werewolf. Because my main thing is, I noticed, like, the CGI up until they got to the castle, I thought was kind of, you know, okay. Mm. The special, like, the practical effects and the sets looked great. You know, like, when they were running along that bridge and Igor's trying to zap Faramir, you know, and a lot of the rooms look good, and, when the kind of area that they've got Frankenstein chained up and that kind of laboratory looked really cool.
Yeah, they were impressive. The
sets looked great, but then it's when we got to the fairy like end, and he's like, you know, only a fucking werewolf can kill me or something like that, and he morphs into a werewolf, and then Dracula's like, all right, I'm gonna morph into my ultimate form instead of being like, whilst you're morphing, I'm just gonna fly away.
Yeah.
You know, which he should have done. He's like, I morph. And then it almost felt like, do you remember when it was like early 2000s and you would watch like a scene like this would get uploaded to YouTube, just the fight scene.
Yeah.
And then somebody would like put like Godsmacked, I Stand Alone over it. Like some kind of really like cringe, like metal song. That's what it felt like. It was just like a CGI fucking slugfest.
Yeah.
And the CGI didn't look good.
It's a little bit of the, you know, I didn't have so much of a problem with the actual like effect. I thought they were okay in this part, but it's what we talked about recently with Abigail. It's the 2000 like, we can't just have two men fighting. It can't just be standard. They need to have something special happen to them. They both need to become like an equal in some way. You both need to be vampires. You both need to be vampires. Or you have to have that and that. And it can't just be a standard. It can't just be Van Helsing finally fighting Dracula.
Or him and Anna fighting Dracula.
Yeah, it can't just be that. No, it has to be like the full on, like, you must become this. You have to turn into it, you know.
Yeah.
That classic, you know, like we said with other films of the time. Like, and this was somewhat following that boom and includes Hugh Jackman, who was part of that boom of superhero, just that first wave when it wasn't quite so like Hulk, fought out, you know, or, you know,
when Hulk fought the giant.
Or like, I remember we said about like Blade, the first Blade film has like, the first Blade film is a pretty good film until it gets to the very end when it's like, dude is like, I'm going to turn into I'm basically now another Blade. I'm another Blade. Now it's both Blade versus Blade. You always have that in certain superheroes, or always in the origin film. It's like the opposite of the character.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm this dude and you're anti this dude.
Yeah. We have to be equal in power.
Yeah.
Because God forbid.
We've been on the same course. That's why you're able to have half the screen time.
Yeah.
I'm just the same as you, but I've decided to be dark.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt like it reminded me of like when I was 10 or 11 and the Hulk film with Eric Bana came out, and I went to go and see it with my granny, and I remember watching him fight the like irradiated dogs or whatever CGI, and I remember watching it thinking, this is fucking ass. And then I looked at my granny, and she just had no clue what was going on, and I could just imagine her thinking, like, God, I've watched like cinema evolve, and what the fuck is this? It's like it's just like
we went through all this for a fucking CGI poodle, fight, like a hulky CGI poodle,
for just somebody to be like, all right, now it's like, all right, Hugh and Richard, you're going to have your big final fight now. And they're both ready. And they're like, all right, cut. Some fucking dude is just going to put it on the computer.
Some dude is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could pretend you've been beaten up and that's the end of the film. You're dead. You know? Don't worry about dying. We'll just have some fucking nerd on a computer do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, shout out to all the special effects crew out there. You do good work. However,
they will manipulate your body, and they will make you so no one else will ever see you the same way again.
Yeah, you know, the fucking AI me on this.
Or they'll make some AI or some CGI of you murdering someone, and you'll be taken away.
Yeah. But I don't know. It felt like I was watching it, and I was like, "Fuck, man, this is the one thing I didn't like about these horror action things." You know, it was like all of the Resident Evil.
I mean, because I didn't like Dracula, I didn't mind seeing him in, like, getting to see him in that full bat form. So I didn't mind him fighting in that form because I quite liked that form.
I would have liked. I think he should have fought Van Helsing. I would have liked
him like that. Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't have. You don't want the standard Dracula fight in Van Helsing anyway. I think you still needed that one, but I think Hugh Jackman should have just been Hugh Jackman.
Yeah,
like he should have just been Van Helsing, like at the beginning with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde fighting against Dracula.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, man. That would have been the best.
You didn't need to make him a werewolf because it's not part of his story anyway.
It convolutes the whole film because now, like you said, fucking Anna's got to go and find the one cure that Dracula keeps, and somehow
just all to set up for the fact that she's going to going to stab it into him, but he's going to kill her, which was actually, I didn't remember most of this film. But that bit, I was definitely like, I didn't expect her to die.
You cried.
So I didn't expect that to happen. And that was one part that I thought, actually, fair play, you know, when you've got a main actress and you're thinking, oh, we're going to make a sequel, and the studio's already thinking you're going to make, and you're probably at the time thinking we're going to get a sequel, to kill off the other main actor in the film,
it's pretty bold.
Giving it a kind of ending is actually quite a bold move. Although it did go into my head, I was like, "Fucking hell, Hugh Jackman in his films, he with his leading ladies, why does he always end up holding his dead leading lady in the mother?" You know, he's in several films where he is literally. I mean, there's X-Men with Jean Grey where he kills her and then screams in his arms.
Of course.
As Werewolf here, he kills her and screams in his arms. There's another one as well where he kills her and he screams and he's like, ah!
I literally sent that gif of him as a werewolf holding her dead body and howling and said, "That's me crying over your dead body, by the way." I fucking love it. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I mean, that him is that. But yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, why is Hugh Jackman seem to have a bit of a stereotype of the fact that basically he's going to murder his leading lady?
Because if his leading lady doesn't die, how can he see the fucking spirit in the sky at the end of the film? You know,
he has to see that other side.
Has to see the other side to know.
He has to see a giant crying Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, he has to burn it and then ride off and then just end. Yeah, you know,
have you seen? I was like, fine, her being kind of the clouds is kind of like, it didn't actually look as bad as like. I'd read something about that scene, so I was thinking this is going to look terrible, isn't it? But it actually didn't look that bad. But it was just more in my head. I was like, where did the inspiration? It's like, have you seen The Lion King?
Yeah.
You know Mufasa in the clouds? Well, we're going to have Kate Beckinsale's giant head in the clouds. And she's reunited with her dead family. And it's like, there's a beautiful, sad scene where Hugh Jackman on a fake sunset background is going to stare up at the sky and he's going to cry because he just murdered that woman.
He just killed her. I mean, I'm sure that I remember there being an alternative ending. You know, I'm sure that there was like another one where it's kind of ends where it started, you know, like I was trying to find it, and I found an article you might like on Looper called "The Ending of Van Helsing Explained," in case you need to understand what happens. I'm sure I remember. I'd love somebody watching this going, "What the fuck? What the fuck is going on, man? I need to know."
Fair, I think every film that comes out wolf? Now, they have that for every film now. And like at one point in time, I think they would have those for, you know, like Inception. When you're like, yeah, fair enough. I want to know what people are thinking. But now they have it for like fucking Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Or so like, what was that? What was that interesting ending where the animated film ended? Or how the fuck did Despicable Me 4 end this time?
I just love the fact that somebody would like look at it and be like, what the... Who was that werewolf at the end?
Yeah.
Where was Van Helsing? He just like missed that whole fucking storyline.
Did she die? Like, why was she dead?
Why is she in the sky? I need to read that.
Wait, did she transform into a cloud?
Yeah.
Is she a cloud monster now? Yeah.
You can see it if you go onto looper.com. If you do need... It was on the 8th of December 2022. So nearly 18 years later... They explain the ending. Somebody went 18 years without understanding it.
I don't understand what happened.
But the alternative ending I remember is after he's fucking burnt her body and seen her in the sky, we then get Van Helsing somewhere else doing monster hunting, and he's fighting somebody else.
Oh.
And he's running off in the city, and somebody's like, "I'm gonna get you, Van Helsing." Maybe I've merged like another film in with
maybe
that.
It's made this up. Maybe it's made up.
Maybe I was so desperate for a sequel.
You were screaming at it. Unless you did, you didn't watch the animated one by chance, did you?
No, I watched. It was Hugh Jackman.
A half an hour one, and it's based in London. I think it takes place. I think it was. It might be before actually. It might be a prequel, not a sequel.
But either way, he went off on his horse or his carriage, and he was very much a wanted man at the end. Because he's a wanted man at the start. Yeah. Unless somehow my mind just like... I went, that was so fucking good. Put it back to the start. I just watched it again.
I can't actually remember the opening. Maybe that's just the opening.
He's a wanted
scene.
Man in the opening.
Maybe, that's what someone says.
Fucking maybe it is because of
I
the
think
end.
That is. It says that the person says about you're a wanted man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you've just repeated yourself back. I think you just made up an alternate ending by taking the beginning.
I didn't want it to end, so I just watched.
That's why they needed to explain. It literally says on there, Rob Kier. Yeah. This explanation is for you because you don't understand how endings work. You think every film just loops back around to the beginning.
It's a new story every time. Like, what the hell? I've seen this one.
Yeah. The interesting part about Schindler's List is it both ends with death and then the death starts again, but in the same deaths.
It's a perpetual war.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know how I fucking did that.
Think you did loop your brain back round.
I did. I am reading about the end, and somebody so one of the questions that Stephen Summers had in mind was, what if Van Helsing was hot? Which I understand, you know, but yeah,
that sounds about right for this, for him as a director.
Yeah.
What if he was hot?
What if he was hot? What if he was shirtless all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think...
Shirtless. I mean... Yeah. I can't... Is he... I think, again, for some reason, Hugh Jackman is shirtless after he's murdered his love interest.
Yeah.
Because he's shirtless in that scene. I don't know about any other scenes, but he's definitely shirtless when he's killed her.
Yeah. It's very much, you know... Yeah, like...
I mean, his tear at the end as he watches the sky and he thinks to himself, I was ready to pipe.
Yeah.
<he's> just, he didn't let me.
He was fucking ready, wasn't he?
They're even getting, like, it's just the fact that also, like, she's dead, but you almost think more of her like, she's dead, but we'll bury her and then in the sequel we'll revive her or something like that.
Yeah.
But this one is, like, literally, like, they don't even leave her open. Like, I feel like they do not leave it open at all for her to cut. Like, they say, she's alive in an afterlife, but it's literally like, right, you're dead, we've burnt your body, and we've shown you off into, like, cloudland, into the sky. So you're, like, done. Like, you're not coming back.
Why do you want
to come back? I almost 100%, like, know that if they'd got a sequel, they always do. Even when certain characters die, the studios go, so, yes, all the cast need to return. And it's like, did you see the first film?
Yeah, no.
It's like, all the studio executives, We don't watch films.
We just make films.
Yeah. It's like this and like that. It's like, so Kate Beckinsale's in the cat. No, she died and we burnt her body. But yeah, but it's all about monsters and creatures. You can bring, yeah, but no, not really. She's like, burnt. It just doesn't work like that. It's like, we'll bring her back as a force ghost or something. Yeah, that's your franchise, ghost. Isn't it? Like, that'll do. It's like, no, like, no, we want to tell a new story with Van Helsing. No, 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 you need to bring Dracula back.
Yeah.
Same Dracula. It can't be different act, different Dracula.
Why would you do that?
And then you need to bring Kate Beckinsale back, you know, and you need to bring all these creatures. There can't be a single different. And it just is that shitty thinking in studios, because you just see it all the time. It's like, you watch your film and you're like, why is that actor back again? They died in the last one. Or why can't we go off and tell a new story? It's like, no, you have to basically make the same film again, but you can change one villain. Yeah, it's like, okay. But
he needs to start the film as a wanted man. Just how he ended it, you know?
It's literally like that. Like, you imagine what they were like with certain films. They were like, so you're going to make The Lord of the Rings. Well, the first one did really well, where they just stayed in the Shire and they got to the land and things like that. In the sequel, we're going to make, it's going to be way bigger with more battles and things like that. Yeah, but the first film did really well because it was a little Shire and they just went on a little part of the journey. Could they possibly just go on a small journey this time? Because we're worried if it gets bigger that people won't be interested
people won't
anymore.
Understand. They won't follow.
So they won't follow anymore.
If it's not the Shire, then
it was like, we're going to introduce classic characters like Gollum and people like that properly this time. No.
Why don't we just show Frodo?
It's like literally that. It's like, yeah. It's like, it's all right. Well, I assume all of the cast are back. So Boromir, we need Sean Bean.
Yeah.
He pretty violently died at the end of the last. You have to have Sean Bean in it.
Yeah.
You know, or we bring back Gandalf. Gandalf does come back. Have you not read the books? I don't read books. I make films.
If Sean Bean doesn't come back, who's doing the full frontal sex?
There was no nudity in the original. Yeah, but sequels have to up
sequels,
the level of penis.
Yeah, who's going to do the penetration?
And also, who's going to die if Sean Bean doesn't die in the sequel as well?
Yeah, somebody else will have to die. I mean, so summarise, because when just to go back and to wrap up. We did have on the social media lounge, just to jump over there quickly. We did have one. So obviously we put up the films that we're talking about on Twitter and Instagram at CMTH Podcast. And the one that we had was Lindsay, who hosts Girlfriends Podcast, who said, what a blast from the past. I haven't watched it since it first came out. And I wonder whether Lindsay will still enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, because when we were actually talking about covering this film, I was like, yeah, it's fucking class. And
you said it was the best film
that you've ever seen.
you know? This would be the greatest thing ever. Which is somewhat the nostalgia of a young 12-year-old boy who just learned to touch himself to feel Jackman.
Yeah. Who else would want to touch myself?
Okay, Beckinsale.
Yeah, one of the two. All the brides, you know.
Oh, yeah.
On a rotation.
Or Frankenstein.
Or any of the cast.
The whole film is just a sex pot. Yeah, so I mean, to be fair, this falls into the category of it's not as bad as I remembered. So I actually thought this was. I used to be like, why the fuck do people like this film? This film's terrible. Whereas I actually had a fairly good time with the action parts of it, and I've made it clear that I do think that this is a convoluted, overfilled film, which really could have been like used a streamline down, and I think it would have been far better received if they just tightened the film up.
Yeah,
But I think also I think at the time, you know, Hugh Jackman like only just like off of Wolverine, you know, so this is one of his earliest other roles apart from that basically, and I think he does really well in the role for what he's given, because it's not like he's greatly fleshed out, you know what I mean? He kind of just is that dark, mysterious, and then it moves so quickly past other stuff and other things, you know, that I don't want to say the other characters probably get more character development than even the main guy does. You know, he's just kind of there as like, I'm going to solve the problem at the end. Don't worry. I'll solve the problem. Yeah. You might have to change me into a CGI werewolf, but I'll solve the problem.
And there's some weird kind of backstory about him being 400 years old and the left-handed god.
The one that killed Dracula originally.
But that very much feels like sequel territory.
It doesn't really go into it fully, does it?
No.
It leaves it all as a tease, like, oh yes, you'll find that out in the sequel, which will definitely be coming out soon.
And then Van Helsing says that exact line and then winks at the camera. That's how it actually ended. I remember that now.
I remember that was the ultimate ending.
And it ended like Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
Yeah. But no, I think I agree with you. I think it's good fun. I think it's got a great soundtrack. I think the first kind of hour is much stronger and a much tighter film. Then once it starts to get a bit convoluted towards the end, we bring in Frankenstein's monster, we turn him into a fucking werewolf for some reason, and then it's just very convenient that
I think that's why we had fun with that first, like, why we may have both got to about the same point and got like, this was a good film.
Yeah.
We're like, this was a good film, and they're like, fuck, there's still an hour.
There's still an hour.
Like, what are we going to do? Haven't we pretty much got to the point by now?
And then it's just so fucking convenient, you know, that Dracula's castle is fucking right under their nose. I never, even when I was a 12-year-old boy and I watched this, you know, when my balls were still fucking starting to drop, I had my little onion hairs, you know, I was like, that's a really shit thing. My voice would be like, that's a really shit thing, you know, even back then, I didn't like it, man. But overall, I think it's enjoyable. It's the kind of film that you can just watch and take your brain out to, you know?
Yeah,
Hand brain to it.
Yeah. So a little bit, you had a little bit of a rose-tinted maybe it's not quite as strong as you maybe remembered.
Yeah, just went on longer than I expected.
Yeah, you know? I think that's true. But yeah, I definitely think, but in terms of just a switch-your-brain-off action film, you know, with horror monsters, It's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, man. Happy 20th birthday to Van Helsing. You're a big boy now, you know. Go and have fun. Have a good birthday, mate. You know, you've had your 18th, 21 next year, and then the next big one will be, what, 30, and then 40. And by then, you're just fucking sick of it, mate. You're just sick of life. But remember to hit that subscribe button. Come and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at CMTH Podcast. And please leave us a lovely review. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.